Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Lamed Dalid. We left off on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We are two lines from the end of the page on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. E bitovech al yidei acher mai tai mai hu dirabanan. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landrur, in honor of his wife and children, and Li'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Bas Simcha Allah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Chani and J.J. Hornblass, in memory of J.J.'s father, Jerome Hornblass, Yaakov ben Moshe Zichron Levracha, whose yahrzeit was last Friday, and memory of Chani's father, Meir Penstein, Meir Yosef ben Avraham, whose yahrzeit is this Friday, the Neshama Shav and Aliyah. It's also sponsored by Seymour Gertz, in memory of his father, Rabbi Aryeh ben Rabbi Lezer Isaac, Olav Shalom, whose yahrzeit is next Sunday, Neshama Shav and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to start by continuing a conversation that began yesterday, where we had a brisa: if a person stole an animal and then shechted it on Shabbos, are you chayiv the dalid vehei? So that was a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Meir said that you are mishalim tashlume dalid vehei. So the Gemara had said, why on earth would you be chayiv dalid vehei? You shechted on Shabbos. You shechted l'avodah zarah. You did something for which you're chayiv misa. Is that to suggest that Rabbi Meir holds that you could be chayiv misa and mammon at the same time? So yesterday we learned that no, Rav Meir is talking about where you were toveach al yidei shliach. So the shliach is the one that did the aver of chil Shabbos, but ye shliach l'dvar aver for gan of tavach machar, for the dalet vehei, you're going to be responsible. So the Gemara is going to start with, yeah, if that's the case, that someone else did the shchita, why would the Rabbanan say that you're pater from the dalet vehei? Meaning the Rabbanan also agree that when it comes to dalet vehei, ye shliach l'dvar avera, so why would the Rabbanan exempt you from dalet vehei if the case in the Braisa is that you shechted through a shliach on Shabbos? So, and that's going to lead us to an analysis of Shechita She'in Ruya and the general concept of Maisa Shabbos. What if a malacha is done on Shabbos? Does that become something that is ro'i la'achila, not ro'i la'achila? Then the Gemara is going to discuss how you can be chayiv dalet vehei if in a case where you're shechting la'avodah zarah or you're shechting a shor niskal, the animal is anyway already asr bahana'a. So it doesn't really belong to anybody because it's worthless. So how could you be chayiv dalet vehei if the animal is already asr bahana'a? Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to quote an opinion that even if the ganav himself shechts, it's not through a shliach. There's one opinion that even if the ganav himself shechts the animal on Shabbos or la'avodah zarah, then he's still going to be chayiv in dalet vehei. Even though he's chayiv misa, he's shechting on Shabbos, he's still going to be chayiv in dalet vehei. So the Gemara is going to analyze that opinion and why that would be the case. After all, normally we would say kam le'bidravineh. If he's chayiv misa, he shouldn't be chayiv the dalet vehei. Then in the middle of Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to start discussing the rights and the obligations of Yarshim toward a borrowed cow. Let's say a father borrows a cow and then he dies while the cow is still being borrowed. What are the Yarshim allowed to do with that cow? Are they allowed to use it? If something happens to it, are they responsible for it? They never accepted responsibility. It was the father that borrowed it. Do they have to return it right away? What exactly are the rights and responsibilities of Yarshim about a borrowed anything? It just happens to talk about a borrowed cow, which I guess wouldn't be the most practical example nowadays, but that's the rights and obligations of Yarshim on something that their father borrowed. And then the Gemara is going to go back to the machlokas that we've had. Again, this whole sugya started because there was a machloka, there was a stira between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Makos. The Mishnah in Makos said, Eluena Lokin, that if someone is Ba'al Achosa, that he's going to be Chayiv Malkus, and in our Mishnah it said that you're Chayiv Mammon. So we tried to reconcile it, and there was a machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether our Mishnah, which is Mechayiv Knas, which is Mechayiv Mammon, is only talking about a case where you wouldn't be Chayiv Malkus, meaning there was no Hasra'ah, and that's why there's room to be Mechayiv Mammon. Or no, even if you are Chayiv Malkus, we hold like Rav Meir, that Lokin Umeshalma, that you got both. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the Nekudas HaMachlokas is, why you would attribute our Mishnah to Rav Meir and say that it's only Lokin Umeshalma, and why would you say that no, our Mishnah should not be going like Rav Meir, and our Mishnah is talking about only a case where you otherwise would not get Malkus. So let's begin two lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So again, if we're talking about a case where I steal something and then I have someone else shechted on Shabbos, so if that's the case,
So the guy who shechted on Shabbos is the Mechal Shabbos. He's the one that's Chayev Misa. So why would the Rabbanan exempt me from Dalet Vehei? I violated Ganav Tavach Umachar. Because everyone seems to agree that Yesh Liach Lidvar Avera and Tvicho Mechira. So I should be Chayev the Dalet Vehei. Why would the Rabbanan say Pater in such a case? So says the Gemara, the reason the Chum say Pater is because Man Chachamim, you have to know who the Chachamim are over here. It's Rabbi Shimon Hi. Damar Shechita Shein Ruya Lo Shma Shechita. The Chachamim in our Mishnah, in this Brisa rather, are a way of referring to the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon holds that any Shechita Shein Ruya, any Shechita that's not going to make the meat that you just shechted kosher, it's not going to make it Mutba Achila, is not called the Shechita. And therefore, any Chiyuv that's incurred on account of the Shechita is not going to be Chal. So the Chum say, since this Shechita is a Shechita She'ein Ru'uya, because you're shechting it on Shabbos, you're shechting La'avodah Zarah, you're shechting Ashara Niskal, it doesn't make the meat mutter ba'ana, it doesn't make the meat mutter to eat, therefore it's not considered Tavach Machar, it's not considered Ganav Tavach, it's not considered something that you're going to be Chayiv Dalet Vehei. This is the concept of Shechita She'ein Ru'uya. The concept of Shechita She'ein Ru'uya comes up several places in Shas. Rabbi Shimon Shita comes up all over the place in Maseches Baba Kama and Daf Ayin. Rabbi Shimon says that if you're going to have a behema and you're a tovech and it turns out that the animal was a treifa, or if you're tovech and it's chulin ba'azara, so you're pata from dalet vehei because that's a shechita she'in ru'uya. In Kiddushin and Daf Nun Zayin, if you shecht tzipori mitzora shalokim mitzvasan, you shecht the birds of a mitzora offering without the eitz erez, without the ezov, without the shnita la'as, all of the things that have to accompany it, so then they don't become asur ba'ana because it's a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So, or in the chulin daf pe'alif, by the din of oso ve'espino, lo sishchu to biyomecha, there's a halach, you're not allowed to shecht an animal and its offspring on the same day. So Rabbi Shimon says that if one of the animals was shechted b'shechita she'ena ru'uya, for example, it was a treifa, then it doesn't violate oso ve'espino, then it's not included in the lav of oso ve'espino, and therefore you are allowed to shecht b'no. Or a little bit later on in Maseches Chulin, daf pe'hei, where Rabbi Shimon says that shechita she'ena ru'uya is pata from kisei adam. Kisei adam, the shechita is the mechayev of kisei adam. But if the shechita she'ena ru'uya is lo shma shechita, then you didn't do shechita, and therefore you don't need to do kisei adam. So this is a shita of Rabbi Shimon that appears everywhere. This idea of shechita she'ena ru'uya. So that is the chachamim that we're referring to. That since the shechita that happened on Shabbos, or the shechita l'avodah zarah, or the shechita of the Shara Niskal, is a shechita she'ena ru'uya, it's not a shechita, and therefore you're not going to be chayev dalet vehei. It has nothing to do with kam lebed rabbin, it's just not a valid shechita, and therefore you're not going to be chayev dalet vehei. So says Gemara, okay, ha teinach avodos kachavim v'shara niskal, I get why a shechting l'avodah zarah, or a shechting l'shara niskal, is considered a shechita she'ena ru'uya. El a shechita Shabbos, shechita ru'uyihi. But wait a second, if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, the meat is kosher. So shouldn't that be still included in Shechita Ru'uya? And shouldn't therefore be Chayiv Dalet Vehei? The Rabbanan said in the Braisa that even if you steal an animal and someone else shechts it on Shabbos, that you're going to be pater from Dalet Vehei. But l'chora, that's a Shechita Ru'uya. How do I know it's a Shechita Ru'uya? Ditznan. The Mishnah tells us, and this Mishnah is quoted all over Shas as well, HaShochit B'Shabbos B'Yom HaKippurim, if a person shechts on Shabbos, or he shechts an animal on Yom Kippur, Afal Pisham is Chayiv B'Nafsho, even though he's Chayiv Misa for shechting on Shabbos, or he's Chayiv Karetz for shechting on Yom Kippur, Shechitaso K'sheira, the meat is actually kosher. The meat is kosher la'achila. So you see very clearly that it's considered a shechita ru'uya, because we say that the meat is considered to be kosher meat. So how can you tell me that if you're shecht on Shabbos, the reason you're pata from Dalet Vehei is because it's shechita shein ru'uya? Not true. When you're shecht on Shabbos, it's a shechita ru'uya. You should be chayiv in Dalet Vehei. The Rishonim and the Achronim struggle with 2 points over here. Number one, they struggle with if you're shechting on Shabbos. So someone who's a mechal Shabbos before Hesia is dino kemumar. He's a dino kemumar l'kol ha'torukula. So the halacha is shechitas mumar is not kosher. So how can you call it a shechita ru'uya if he's shechting on Shabbos? He's a mechal Shabbos. He's a dino kemumar. So it's not a shechita ru'uya. So the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos in the first parak of Maseches Chulin says, yeah, as soon as you begin to make that wound in the neck of the animal before the shechita is even completed, you're already a mechal Shabbos. You're already a mumar, and the shechita is not kosher. The Mishnah must have been talking about where you started the shechita b'shogeg, and then it was only b'sov shechita that you switched to a mezuzah. weighs it. And that's why you're not a mumar at the time of the shechita, because it was only at the sof shechita that you became a mezid. So Rav Yonason Eibshitz in the Krasi and Simin Yud Aleph says, that's a big ukimta. Our Gemara is trying to say that in a classic case of shechting on Shabbos, that it's a shechita ru'uya. And the Rambam says, no, it's only a shechita ru'uya. If you have this funny case where you started off shogeg and then you ended off mezid, it doesn't sound that way. The Gemara should have just responded when the Gemara asks, what are you talking about? If it's Shabbos, it's a shechita ru'uya. The Gemara should have said, no, most of the time it's actually a shechita shein ru'uya, because most of the time the guy's becoming a mumar. But the Gemara doesn't say that. So it's difficult to understand the shitas harambam. The Ran in Maseches Chulin Daf Yudal disagrees with the Rambam, and he holds that, no, you only become a mumar at the Gemar HaShechita. But prior to the Gemar HaShechita, all you're doing is you're ruining an animal. That's called Mekalkel. And Mekalkel B'Chabura, we paskin is Pater, even though there's some debate about Mekalkel B'Chabura. Mekalkel in Hilchos Shabbos in general is Pater. But one could argue that a wound, by definition, is Mekalkel, and therefore maybe you're Chayiv in Mekalkel B'Chabura. We paskin Mekalkel B'Chabura is Pater. So the Hafla points out that the Ran is a little difficult also, because Rabbi Shimon holds Maseches Shabbos that Mekalkel B'Chabura is Chayiv, and we're working within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon over here. So even though we might paskin Mekalkel B'Chabura is Pater, that's not the way Rabbi Shimon paskin, so we would like Rabbi Shimon to be consistent. So in the Beis Yaakov, he suggests that if you shecht on Shabbos, you become a mumar. That's true, but only on a drabanan level. So it would turn out that since Mita Oraisa, the shechita is going to be a kashra shechita, therefore it's called a shechita ru'ya. So that's one issue that they struggle with. The other issue that they struggle with is the sugya in the first parak of Maseches Temura, where the Gemara tells us, kol misa dam rachman lo savid iavid lo mahani, that whenever a person is, the Torah tells you not to do something, if you do it, you don't have the ability to affect that which you're trying to affect. Meaning, it's not just that the Torah is telling you by Temura, don't exchange a carbon animal, a Kodesh animal for something else. It's telling you that even if you try to do it, the exchange is not going to work. It's not going to, the Kedusha is not going to leave the animal that you were trying to exchange, that you were trying to get the Kedusha off of. It doesn't even work. The Torah is telling us, whenever it tells us an Isser, it's not just telling us we're not allowed to do it, that we're not allowed to violate the Tzivui Rachman, it's telling us that you're not enabled, you're not able to do it. So if that's the case, when you shechted be Isser on Shabbos, it shouldn't be a shechita at all. The animal should be a nevela, meaning shouldn't that basic rule that covers kol ha'Torah kulav, kol misa dam rachman lo savid yavod l'mahani, tell me that by definition when you shecht on Shabbos, it's a shechita she'en ru'uya, because the Torah says you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. So by shechting on Shabbos, you're doing an Isser, and therefore it shouldn't count as a valid shechita. So the Acharonim come up with a number of different terutzim. Rabbi Kiveger in a tshuva suggests that yavod l'mahani is only when it's a specific lav, like temura, where the Torah says don't switch this animal for another animal. And it could be that the Torah is telling you, by saying don't do it, it's telling you you don't have the koach to do it. And if you do it, it doesn't even work. But by the Isra of Shabbos, where it's a more general Isra of losasa kol melacha, don't do any melacha, it can't be that the Torah is telling me that I lack the ability to do a malacha. What are you going to tell me? I build a house on Shabbos and there's a house there. So you're going to tell me it's not a house, but it's a house. I just built it. How can you tell me it's not a house? So it can't be that something like that, something like malacha Shabbos, says Rabbi Kiveger, that a yavad lo mahani. So therefore, malacha Shabbos is a yavad mahani. So anyway, so back to our Gemara. So the Gemara is saying that even if you want to tell me that the Rabbanan in this Braisa, who say that you're pater from the Dalet Vehei, are Rabbi Shimon, who holds that it's a shechita shein ruya, that's only good, that's only true when it's a shechita of Avod Zara, that's only true when it's a shechita of Shor Niskal, but a shechita on Shabbos is a shechita ruya. Where do I see that it's a, so says Gemara, Savalak Rabbi Yochanan Sander, maybe this price assumes like the shechita of Rabbi Yochanan Sander, who says that shechita on Shabbos is taka shechita shein ruya, meaning it's a major three-way machlokas tanayim. What happens if you are mechalal Shabbos? Is the what happens to the item with which you were mechalel Shabbos? If you cook on Shabbos, if you shecht on Shabbos, is that a shechita ruya? Is that food something that you're allowed to eat? So that is a three-way machlokas tanaim, and we're assuming, like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, that it's not ro'i l'achila. That if you cook on Shabbos, it's treif. You're not allowed to eat it. That if you shecht on Shabbos, it's not a shechita ruya, and that's why you're pater from the dalet vehei over here. What are the three shitos? Hamevashel b'Shabbos. If a person cooks on Shabbos, this halacha is about all Maisa Shabbos, really, but it appears in Siman Shin Yud Ches and Shulchan Aruch, because that's where we have Bishul B'Shabbos, the Dinim of Bishul B'Shabbos, and the case that the Brisa gives is a case of Bishul. So that's why it appears in Hilchos Bishul. So when we learn Bishul B'Shabbos, we typically spend a good deal of time before we even begin with the principles of Bishul. We first deal with the principles in general of Maisa Shabbos. It's also most common that that's where it might come up. So Vashel B'Shabbos, if a person cooks on Shabbos, B'Shogeg, and he did so B'Shogeg, he forgot it was Shabbos, he didn't know cooking was Aser, whatever it might be, Yochel, he's allowed to eat the food even on that Shabbos. But if he did it B'Mezid, Lo Yochel, then he's not allowed to eat that food ever. Meaning the guy who did it is not allowed to eat that food ever. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir Shita. Now Rabbi Meir holds other people are allowed to eat that food even immediately. So if a person is Mechal Shabbos, B'Mezid, while certainly B'Shogeg, there's no problem at all. But if a person violated Shabbos B'mezid, it's only problematic for him. Everybody else is allowed to get hana immediately from that food. So if you were to paskin like Rabbi Meir, that this comes up all the time. Maaser Shabbos issues come up all the time, right? They built the train in Israel and they were working 7 days a week. Are you allowed to go on that train? Right? It was a big discussion in the postgame. So according to the mayor, there's no shaila. As long as you're not one of the people who are working on the train, those people typically aren't asking shailas if they were working on Shabbos. So as long as you're not one of the people that were working on the if one of them became Balchuva, then he has an issue. But if you're not one of the people working on the train, then you wouldn't have a problem. So according to the mayor, that person who was doing the Maaser Shabbos, is never allowed to benefit from it. But everybody else is allowed to benefit from it immediately. Rabbi Yehuda Omer B'Shogeg Yochal L'Motzai Shabbos, that if you violated B'Shogeg, then you yourself are allowed to eat from it on Motzai Shabbos, just not on Shabbos, because we make a knas of Shogeg Atu Mezid. But B'Mezid Lo Yochal Olamis, but if you purposely violated Shabbos and cooked this food on Shabbos, then the person who did that Aveira B'Mezid is never allowed to get hana from it, because he's not allowed to be nana from his Maisa Aveira. Other people are allowed to get hana from it b'motzai Shabbos. Other people are allowed to get hana from it after Shabbos is over. Then Rabbi Yochanan Sander is the strictest of the opinions. Rabbi Yochanan Sander Omer b'shogeg yochal b'motzai Shabbos. Then if you violate b'shogeg, the guy is allowed to eat from it on motzai Shabbos after b'kadei sheyasu, after the amount of time it would have taken to do it after Shabbos la'acherim. But that's only for other people. V'lo lo, the guy himself who did the malacha is never allowed to benefit from it. Even b'shogeg, so Rabbi Yochanan Sander is so strict that if a person violates Shabbos b'shogeg, the guy who did the chil Shabbos can never benefit from it. Other people need to wait b'kadei sheyasu after Shabbos, the amount of time it would take to do the melacha after Shabbos, and can then benefit from it. B'mezid, if the chil Shabbos happened b'mezid, lo ye'achel olamis lo lo v'lo la'acherim. It's aser for every Jew forever, and therefore the Tana of our Brisa that says that if you're tavach b'Shabbos, that you're pater from tashlumi dalad v'hei, is assuming like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, that when you're tavach b'Shabbos, it's a shchita shein ru'uya, because that animal is going to be for everybody forever, and therefore it's a shechita she'ena ru'uya, so you're not going to be chayv dalad bay on a shechita she'ena ru'uya. So that was all just to explain why would it be that the Rabbanan would say that if I have somebody else doing the shechita for me on Shabbos, why am I patur from the dalad bay? And the answer is because Rabbi Yochanan Asandler assumes that that's called the shechita she'ena ru'uya, and we're going to assume like the shechita of Rabbi Shimon that a shechita she'ena ru'uya is lo shma shechita, and therefore you're not going to be chayv dalad vehei. So says Gemara, but once we're on the topic, my time with Rabbi Yochanan Sander. Why is Rabbi Yochanan Sander so strict? Why does he say that a Maisa Shabbos B'mezid is Asur for everybody forever? So Kedarsh Rabbi Chiya Pischa de Benesia, it's the way Rabbi Chiya darshan by the doorstep of the Beis Hanasi, that the Pasuk says, Ushmartem Maisa Shabbos Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem. So apparently there's some link between Shabbos and Kodesh. Kodesh is kachin. So ma kodesh asabachila, just like when you have something that's hektish, when you make something kodesh l'shamayim, you're not allowed to eat it. So af maisa shabbos asun ba'achila. So too, any maisa shabbos that you do is going to be asur ba'achila. So it's a drasha from a pasuk, from a hekish in the pasuk that we learn that maisa shabbos is asur. Well, it says the Gemara, ima kodesh asur ba'hana, af maisa shabbos asur ba'hana. So I might take that drasha one step further and say that if kodesh is not only yasur b'chil, it's yasur b'anah, so ma'isa Shabbos should be yasur b'anah, and therefore even you shouldn't even be allowed to sell it to a nachri. If you accidentally cooked meat on Shabbos, you shouldn't even be allowed to sell it to a nachri. So tamalomar lachem shalachem yehei. That's why the pasuk says lachem, that the ma'isa Shabbos is shalachem yehei. It should be mutar b'anah. It should have some value to you. So yachal afilu b'shogeg. You might think that even if you cooked b'shogeg, it's going to be asr b'achila. Not only b'mezid is it asr to every Jew forever, but even if you cook b'shogeg, tamalomar mechalaleha mosimas. B'mezid amarti lachfilo b'shogeg. That's why the hemshich of the pasuk says mechalaleha mosimas. So clearly the pasuk is talking about where you did it b'mezid, because if you did something b'shogeg, there's no mechalaleha mosimas. There's no chiyuv misa. So therefore, we see that this whole din of ma'isa Shabbos being asr for every Jew forever is only when it was done b'mezid, but not if it was done b'shogeg. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandor Shita is based in Psukim. So the Gemara brings Machlokas Amoraim about Ma'aser Shabbos within the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Sandor. So again, Rabbi Yochanan Sandor was, we definitely don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Sandor. There's a discussion in Shulchan Aruch between the Mechaber and the Gra whether we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Meir. The Gra says we could even be somech on Rabbi Meir. So the Mishnah Berurah says B'shas Chak, it could be somech on the Gra who paskin like Rabbi Meir. But we definitely don't paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Sandor. But our whole Gemara is assuming Rabbi Yochanan Sandor. That's the only way to explain the Shita of the Rabbanan about Dalet Vehei. So within Rabbi Yochanan Sandor, we have a Machlokes. Pligi bar Ravacha v'Ravina. Chadamer Ma'aser Shabbos da Oraisa v'Chadamer d'Rabbanan. Meaning we just explained the basis of Rabbi Yochanan Sandor, and right away when we wanted to find out what Rabbi Yochanan Sandor was based on, we started quoting Pesukim. Ushmartim Shabbos ki kodesh ulechem. Why is there a difference between Mezid and Shogeg, Mechalel, Mosimas? Everything was about Pesukim. So the impression that you get is Rabbi Yochanan Sandler holds this is a din to Oraisa. So says Gemara, not so fast. It's Machlokas Rav Acha v'Ravina within Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Chad Amar Ma'aser Shabbos to Oraisa. One of them holds that if you cook on Shabbos b'mezid, that it's asr b'achila min ha-Torah. V'chadam d'rabbanan. The other one says that it's only asr mid-rabbanan. So mandi ha-midaraisa k'damaran. The one that says that it's asr mid-raisa, that doesn't need any further elaboration. We just quote a psukim. Of course it's d'raisa. Mandi ha-midarabbanan. What about the sheet that thinks Rabbi Yochanan Sandler is only d'rabbanan? Amar kra kodesh he kodesh vein maaseh kodesh. It's interesting. You would expect the Gemara to say cross machta b'yamo, meaning the whole pasuk is only in asmachta. But instead of dealing with the actual pasuk that was quoted and dismissing the pasuk that was quoted, it brings another pasuk to tell me that you see in the Torah that Ma'aser Shabbos is actually mutter. And if you see somewhere else in the Torah that Ma'aser Shabbos is mutter, then it must be a misunderstanding of that pasuk. Pasuk says kodesh he, and it's the very same pasuk that kodesh he, that he kodesh ve maaseh kodesh. Shabbos is kodesh, but the Ma'aser Shabbos is not kodesh. There is no iser hana'a on Ma'aser Shabbos. So that's dealt with in the Rishonim, how it could be that that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler himself quotes that same pasuk to tell me that it's Daraisa, and there's a shita within Rabbi Yochanan Sandler that says, no, that very same pasuk tells me that it's not Daraisa. Okay, the Rishonim struggle with that issue. But this is the Machlokes Amorayim within the shita of the Tana, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler, where the Ma'aser Shabbos is Daraisa or Drabanan. Ulman Yom Drabanan, according to the shita that Rabbi Yochanan Sandler himself only holds Ma'aser Shabbos as Midrabanan, Ma'itai Ma'u Rabbanan Depatri. Well, then why, going back to how we started this whole conversation, why is it that the Rabbanan and the Braisa say that if I steal an animal and I have someone else shechter on Shabbos, am I pater from Dalet Vehei? Our answer so far was because it's a Shechita Shein Ru'uya, and a Shechita Shein Ru'uya is not called the Shechita. That's true if Ma'aser Shabbos is Din Daraisa. But if Ma'aser Shabbos didn't Rabban, then on a Daraisa level, you put it on your Daraisa glasses, you're looking at a Shechita Ru'uya. So you should be Chayiv Dalet Vehei. Why would the Rabban say you're Pater? So it says Gemara, Kika Pater, Rabban and Asha'ara. In a Chinami, if someone shechted it on Shabbos, you would be Chayiv. When the Rabban said that you're Pater from Dalet Vehei, that was talking about the other two cases in the Braisa, where someone shechted a Sharaniskal, or someone shechted La Vodazara. That's where it's a Shechita She'en Ru'uya, and that's where I'm going to be Pater from the Dal of the Hay. But in a Chinami, as far as my Shabbos is concerned, you're going to be Chayiv in the Dal of the Hay. So now the Gemara goes back to explain the Braisa. How can it be that if you're Taveach La Vodazara, that you're Chayiv Dal of the Hay according to Reb Meir? So again, the first approach was, why would Reb Meir say I'm Chayiv Dal of the Hay? After all, I'm already Chayiv Misa because I'm Shechting on Shabbos, I'm Shechting La Vodazara. How could I be Chayiv Dal of the Hay? So we said, no, Taveach Alidei. acher. You had someone else do the shchita. So says the Gemara, Toveach Lavod Chavim, the Gemara asks, why would Rav Meir say you're chayiv if you shach Lavod Zara, given the shachate porta, itzalei, if you're shach Lavod Zara, the second you make a slight incision, the animal right away becomes asr bahanah. So, idach ki katavach, when you continue shachting the animal, lav demarei katavach, it's no longer owned by anybody because the whole thing is asr bahanah. I mean, it already has no din mamon, it already has no value because it already became an animal that was asr bahanah, as Avod Zara. So Amarava ba'omer b'gemar zvicha hu ovda. Now maybe the case is where you say initially when you're shechting it that I only want to be oved at the gemar zvicha. I only want it to become avod zara at the gemar zvicha. Up until that point, I'm not doing avod zara. So it still had a din mamon at the first part of the shechita. So that's why you're chayiv dalin vehe in such a case. Says more along similar lines. Shor niskal lav didehu dekatavach. A shor niskal is already asr bahana'a. How could you be chayiv dalin vehe for shechting a shara niskal? It's also banal. It has no value. If it has no value, how could you be chayv dalve? It doesn't belong to anybody. Samaraba, the case is that you gave the animal to a shomer, the owner gave the animal to a shomer, and the ox did its damage while it was in the shomer's house. It became a shara niskal in the shomer's house. So someone steals it from the shomer's house and shechts it. And Rav Meir makes two assumptions over here. Number one, Savlak Rabbi Yaakov Domer Afmish Nigmar Dino Hechziru Shomer Lebayil of Muchsar. First assumption he's making is that a quirk in Hilchos Shomrim, that if I borrow your cow and your cow is worth $1,000 the day that I borrow it, but then it goes and it does all sorts of things, it does all sorts of damage and it has a gemar din and it becomes a shara niskal. As long as it's still alive before the Beis Din has actually stoned it, I can give you back the cow and say, here's your cow, it's in perfect condition. And I'm putter. I don't have any further responsibilities. That's assumption number one. And the Savlak Rabbi Shimon Dam Davar Gormamun Kamamun Dami, that something that can save me money is considered money. So Klape the Shomer, this cow is still worth $1,000. Because if he can't return this cow, if this cow gets shechted, gets lost, gets stolen, he's going to have to pay $1,000 to the original owner. But as long as he still has this cow, even though it's asr bahana'a, he could just give it to the original owner. So for him, it's worth $1,000. Davar agarim l'mamon is k'mamon dami. So it does have value, klape that shomer, and therefore you could be chayiv dalin vehe. So in short, the Gemara wanted to know, how could you be chayiv dalin vehe for shechting a behem l'avod zara? How could you be chayiv dalin vehe for shechting a shara niskal? Aren't these things worthless? Aren't they asr bahana and therefore worthless? So by the behem l'avod zara, we said, you only made it l'avod zara at the very end. By shara niskal, it's this funny case where you stole it from a shomer who could have just given it back to the original bailam, and therefore it's a davar agarim l'mamon and it's k'mamon dami. Now the Gemara goes back to the original discussion that we had said earlier that the case must be that you're taveach al yidei shliach, right? Why is it that a mayor holds that you're chayiv dal vehei when it's shechted on Shabbos? After all, aren't you chayiv misa? No, the shliach is chayiv misa because he's the one that shechted on Shabbos. You're chayiv dal vehei because yesh shliach l'dvar aveir on dal vehei. That's what we said up until this point. Rabba Omer, li olam b'taveach al yidei atzmo. You don't need to bring a shliach into the picture. You're going to be chayiv dal vehei according to a mayor, even if you're the one that stole it and then you shechted on Shabbos. The guy who stole the shechted on Shabbos, he's still going to be chayiv dal vehei. Isn't he going to be chayiv misa? Rav Meir loko mishalim islay, mesu mishalim leslay. And normally you're right. Rav Meir would say you can get malchus and money, but you're not going to be punished with both misa and money. But shiny hani the chiddushu shechidshatar beknas. But over here, dalav hay is a separate din. Dalvei is not a typical din mamon. Dalvei is a chiddush that the Torah is mechadish by knas, that min adin you should only have to pay the strict value of it, and since the whole thing is a chiddush, so afagav de mikvah mashalim, there's a special din that even though you're chayiv misa, you're going to have to pay. So generally speaking, if you're chayiv misa, you're patur from tashlum and kimle b'drav minei, Rav Meir subscribes to that as well. Rav Meir holds that lokin of mashalim will not say that mesim mashalim. But dalvei is a chiddush. It's a separate din. Chassam Sofer says, what's the big chiddush about Dalet Vehei? So he says, it doesn't mean to say that the actual knas is a chiddush, because it's no more of a chiddush than any other punishment that the Torah gives you for anything. Galus or Malkus or Miso, or meaning whenever the Torah imposes the only penalty in the Torah, the only punishment in the Torah that's not a chiddush is if I break your window, that I have to pay for the window, right? Meaning that's obvious and logical. But I would have come up with the idea that if a guy eats something not kosher, that we should take this giant whip and we should rip off his shirt and we should hit him 13 times in 3 different spots in the back and get a doctor there. I never would have thought the whole thing is a chiddush. The whole Torah is a chiddush. I would, right? So we always have to define chiddush. That's what Rav Shachter often points out. And he writes in Eretz HaTzvi that chiddush is a davar asoser es haklal. Chiddush doesn't mean something I wouldn't have thought of on my own. I never would have thought of to take a citron and a palm branch and a few other and just shake them for a week. I never would have thought of that. No, the whole Torah is a chiddush if that's the definition of chiddush. Chiddush means within the normal rules of the Torah, it's a davar asoser es haklal. It's something that doesn't fit the normal rules of the Torah. So says the Chassam Sofer over here. The chiddush is that the guy who you stole from is really, it's a better payoff than any investment he ever could have made, right? Meaning the best investment you can make is to get his stuff stolen and shechted. He's getting 4 or 5 times the value. Why is that right? Meaning that's a chiddush. When do you win to such an extent that so in that sense it's a chiddush. I understand we want to punish the guy who did it. The guy who did it did something terrible. So give it to tzedakah, right? Make him go to a fund that pays and keeps to support almanos and yisomim or something. Why does it all go to that guy? So that's the chiddush, that the knas, that normally when you have a knas, it's not going to go to an individual. You would think that the knas would have to go to Beis Din or something like that. And in that sense, that it's a chiddush. That's how the Chassam Sofer explains. So anyway, so Rabbah is working with this idea that even though generally Rav Meir holds, if you're chayiv misa, you're not going to be chayiv mamon, over here you're chayiv both misa and mamon because it's knas. Because it's the knas of Dalet Vehei. It's a specific type of knas. Vaza Rabbah l'tameh. And this is Rabbah l'shi Tasa, that by a chiv of knas, there's no kam lebidravine. Damar Rabba, hayagadi ganavlo, if a person had an animal that was already stolen before Shabbos, meaning he stole a gadi before Shabbos, so already at that point he's chayiv to pay the keren and the kefel, and then utvachu b'Shabbos, and then he shechts it on Shabbos. So he did something on Shabbos for which he should have been chayiv misa, and the Dalet Vehei. So Chayiv, he does have to pay that Knas, because Shekvar Nischayiv B'Ganev Kodim Shevodei Yisr Shabbos, the Ikur Chayiv Mamon, that came before Shabbos. And we don't apply Kam Leib Draminei to Dalet Vehei. So he's still going to have to pay the Dalet Vehei. But Ganav V'Tavach B'Shabbos, if he did the stealing itself on Shabbos and Shechted on Shabbos, then Pater. Then he's not going to have to pay even he's not going to have to pay the Keren or the Dalet Vehei, because that's a Chiyuv Mamon that's coming together with a Chiyuv Misa. He's Chayiv for being Mechal Shabbos and the Mamon of actually stealing the animal. And he's not going to be Chayiv Dalet Vehei because Shemein Gnev ain't Tvich Vein Mechira. If you don't have the Aleph and Beis, you never get to the Dalet Vehei. So since the Aleph and Beis, the actual Ikar Mamon of what he stole and the Kefel, he's not going to have to pay because that came simultaneous to a Chiv Misa, so Mela, there's no Dalet Vehei. So that is Rabbah l'shitaso. That Dalet Vehei on its own is not going to be subject to Kam Lebidraminei, but a Chiv Mamon in general is subject to Kam Lebidraminei. V'yamar Rabbah, and Rabbah says, I'll tell you another case. Hayigadi Ganavlo, let's say you stole an animal in a normal way. You didn't dig a tunnel or anything. You just took an animal, you hid it under your small animal, you hid it under your coat or something, and you put it away somewhere, and then utvacha b'machteres. And then in order to get it out of the house that you stole it from, you dug a tunnel to get it out of the house, and you shechted it in that machteres. So normally when you're in a machteres, you're mischayev b'nafsho, because if someone finds you in a machteres, he's allowed to kill you. So therefore, it's considered like your chayiv misa at that time. So you did the shechita in the machteres, then you're going to be chayiv. You're going to be chayiv Dalet Vehei. Your chayiv misa at that time. Yeah, but Dalet Vehei is not subject to kam lebidrav minei. Shekvar nischayiv b'geneva kodem shavadeyas machteres. You're already chayiv in the geneva before you ever ended up in the machteres. Gana v'tavach b'machteres. But if you did the stealing in the machteres also, you dug a tunnel in order to steal it also. So you're chayiv misa the whole time. Then pater. Then you're not going to be chayiv chayiv dalvei because he's not chayiv in the actual ikar mamon because it's subject to kamalei bedramin. Shemin gneva. If there's no chayiv of the aleph abeis, ain't tvi chven mechira. Then there's not going to be a chayiv of the dalet vehei. So two cases where Rabbah teaches us that that the chayiv of dalvei is not subject to kamalei bedramin. Where the chayiv dalvei comes on Shabbos and where the chayiv dalvei comes b'machteres. So says Mar, why do you need to tell me both of those cases? I get it. There's a chayiv misa. And there's a chiv mammon at the same time, you're putz from the mammon. Chiv misa and chiv dal vehei at the same time, you're chayiv in the dal vehei. So it's tzricha. We need both cases. Diash min Shabbos, if it only would have taught me the case of Shabbos, I would not have known the same applies to a machteres. Mishum di yisura yisur olam. I would have said, yeah, that's because by Shabbos, you're always going to be chayiv. At any point in the future, someone comes and was mayor that you're mechal Shabbos, you're going to be chayiv in Beis Din. Avol machteres dis rishahu, but the chayiv misa of machteres is a unique kind of chayiv misa. You're only chayiv misa so long as he finds you in the machteres. Someone could come the next day and say, I saw that guy in the machteres yesterday. Beis Din is going to say, well, he's not in the machteres now, and therefore he's not chayiv misa anymore. So I would think, emalau, I would think that we do not say that that chayiv misa could even pater you from mamon, because it's not a real chayiv misa. V'yashmin machteres, and if it only would have told me the case of machteres, I would not have known that by Shabbos the same din applies. Mishum de machteraso, zui asraso. I would have thought that a machteres is a strong enough chiv to patter you from paying because it's such a serious chiv. You don't even get hasra'a for machteres. Aval Shabbos to buy hasra'a, but by Shabbos you're only going to be chayv misa if there was hasra'a involved. Emalo, I would think that Shabbos does not patter you from mamon tzricha. That's why I need both cases. So now the Gemara tells us, Amrav Papa, haysapara genuvelo. If let's say you had a parah that was already stolen before Shabbos, utvacha b'Shabbos, and then you shechted it on Shabbos, chayiv, shekvar nes chayiv b'gneva kodem shev l'day Yisr Shabbos. You're going to be chayiv to pay for it because you're chayiv in the gneva before the Yisr Shabbos ever came. Haysa parah she'ula lo, utvacha b'Shabbos, pater. Let's say you borrowed the parah, and then you shechted it on Shabbos, then you're pater from paying for the parah, because since it was borrowed, it was in the Rishus Bailim so long as it was alive. You only removed it from the Rishus Bailim at the time that you shechted it, and at the time that you shechted it, you're being mechal Shabbos, so you're pater from paying. Amalei Ravacha b'Rei Rav L'Ravashi Rav Papa Paras Lashminan. What's the chiddush that Rav Papa's adding? We had cases where we apply kam le'bidramine to misa and mamon of a gedi, of stealing a gedi. I would have thought a para is different. Rav Papa has told me, and also a dog, and also a cat, and also of course every animal. What's Rav Papa's chiddush? So Amalei, so Ravashi says Rav Papa shu'ula asal Lashminan. No, his chiddush was about the case where you borrowed it. I might have thought that since Rav Papa holds from the time you take the animal into your possession to borrow it, you're already chayiv in its mezonos hachanami mishashilis chayiv ba'on seha, that the chiyuv in onsim that happens to that para already are chal from the time of the she'ela. So kamash milan, that's where Rav Papa comes to tell me that since so long as the para is alive, the shoel is not allowed to just pay money for it. He's going to have to give back the para itself. So the gzela happens at the time of the tvicha. The parah still belongs to the bailim until the time of the shechita. So once we're talking about borrowed stuff, amarava hiniach lenavian parah shu'ula. Let's say a man borrowed something and then he dropped dead. He borrowed a cow and then he dropped dead. So mishtamshin b'kol yimei she'elasa. The children are allowed to continue. If it was a 6-month lease that he had on the cow and he dies 2 months into it, the children can continue using it for the next 4 months. Mesa, if let's say the parah dies ba'ones, ein chayav in ba'onsa. They're not chayiv to pay for onsim, even though a shoel is chayiv in onsim, but they aren't shoelim. The father was a shoel. They never accepted upon themselves such responsibility. So kusvurin shalavim he. Not only that, if they thought that it belonged to their father, utvachua vachlua, and therefore they shechted it and they ate it, mishalman dmei basar bezul. They don't even have to pay the full value of the para because it was a total onus. They had no idea that it didn't belong to them, so they only pay the hana'a for the hana'a they got from eating it, meaning for they don't have to pay for what the meat was actually worth, but for what a cheaper dinner would have cost for that night. So they pay Dmei Bezul. And then one last line in the Braisa, that Rava tells me, that if the father left Karka, Chayav and Lashalim, then they have to pay from the father's Karka. It's not clear what that last line is talking about. So says Gemara, Ika Demasin La Aresha, Ika Demasin La Seifa. Some say that that last line goes back on the Resha, that if they knew that it was a borrowed cow, and it dies Ba'ones, that they don't have to pay anything. But the Seif is telling me that if they have, if there was karka that their father had, then they do have to pay for it. And others say that no, it's going on the case of the Seifa, that they had no idea that it was a borrowed cow. So they shechted it and they ate it. So they only have to pay Dmei Basar Bazul. No, but if the father had karka, then they have to pay from the karka the full value. So Mandamasir La Resha, if you say that the father having karka requires them to pay the full value in the case of the Resha, then Kolshkein a Seifa. Certainly in this case of the Seifa, where the father left them karka, they'd be chayiv to pay, because if the father's nechasim are meshubad to pay the Dmei Parah when it dies, ba'ones, after he dies, certainly it's meshubad to pay the Dmei Parah when they themselves shechted it and ate it, upligad Rav Papa, and that's in disagreement with Rav Papa, who says that the chayiv ones is only mishasa ones and not lemafreya mishasa she'ila. When a man the masna seifa avala reisha lo, but if you say that the karka only has to pay in the case of the seifa, then in the case of the reisha where the behemoth dies ba'ones, the karka does not have to be used to pay for it. Why? Hainu Rav Papa, that's exactly like Rav Papa, that the chiyuv ones is only chal at the time of the ones and not at the time of the she'ila. One question that begs itself on this whole statement of Rabbi Meir is that Rabbi Meir said that if they had no idea that it was a borrowed cow and they therefore killed it and they ate it, that they don't have to pay the full amount. L'chora, normally Adam will be olim, bein bonus, bein baratzim, bein mishogim, bein mezin, and Adam is always going to have to pay for Adam Amazik. So we have to say, as we should point out, Tosfos and others, that this is what's called an ones gamur. And by an ones gamur, then we don't say Adam Muad li olim. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with Bishlama, Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Krishna.